Our Bible test, or sermon test for our service this evening is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 5, from verse 12 to 16. Luke chapter 5, from verse 12 to 16, I read. And it happened when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Verse 14. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. The final verse, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in our hearts in Jesus' name. The topic of our sermon this evening is our Savior is willing to cleanse our sins. Our Savior is willing to cleanse our sins. Always ready to cleanse our sins. As an introduction, humanly speaking, everyone desires to be clean and have a sense of hygiene. Particularly in this period of COVID-19, washing of hands, surfaces, doorknobs, railings are all precautionary steps we take to be free of germs and viruses. But it is so alarming that many are less concerned about the cleansing of their sinful life. Many are rather keen on keeping the outside bright and shining, while the soul, conscience, heart remains filthy and dirty. It is very pathetic and sorry to know that man is always blind to his rottenness, filthiness, and abject spiritual poverty. Except the Lord opens the eyes. My prayer and that of the church is that God, through the preaching of the word, through the godly lives of the saints and our love for one another, will bring a perverse generation under conviction and total surrender before the Lordship of Christ. Look at our text from verse 12. Our text shows a leper who came to Jesus for cleansing. In the Bible, leprosy is a dreaded disease that depicts sin. Many a times, it is shown as an analogy for sin. In our text, this leper did not ask for healing, but cleansing, which Jesus granted. The mere fact that he asked for cleansing further substantiates the fact that leprosy depicts sin, spiritual sin in our lives. The words clean, cleansed, cleansing occur three times to emphasize this analogy. Leprosy, as we know, renders a man ceremonially defiled. So that if he was even healed, he still had to go to the priest and carry out an extensive ritual of cleansing before he could be accepted back into the religious community of God's people. Leviticus chapter 14 gives us an extensive explanation of that. This leper wanted more than healing. He wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to come into fellowship with God, into the community of God's people. Even if he sought for healing from Christ, the law still required him to see the priest for cleansing. William Barclay, in the Daily Study Bible commentary published by Westminster Press, describes leprosy in this way. Quote opened, "Leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some parts of the body. The nerve trunks are affected. The muscles waste away. The tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows ulceration of the hands and feet. Then comes the progressive loss of fingers and toes, until in the end a whole hand or whole foot may drop off. The duration of that kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years. It is a kind of terrible progressive death in which a man dies by inches." End of quote. It was this kind of leprosy that the Bible refers to when it describes the leper in Numbers chapter 12, verse 12, like one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb. While the physical disease was horrible, the terrible social consequences in ancient Israel only added to the misery. Also, according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, lepers were treated as if, in effect, they were dead men. The Mosaic law prescribed that the person be cut off from society, including his family. He had to wear torn clothing, have his hair uncovered, cover his lips, and shout, "Unclean, unclean," wherever he went to warn others to keep their distance. Leviticus 13, verse 45. For further study, the laws concerning leprosy is detailed in Leviticus 13 and 14. But this evening, inasmuch as doing an introduction to how leprosy was taken in ancient Israel, our emphasis this evening is to point out that man now, without Christ, we are spiritual lepers, because we all carry sin one way or the other. This man, full of leprosy, called unto Christ, asking for cleansing, and the cleansing Savior did not hesitate. Even also, breaking every protocol, reached out to this man full of leprosy. Oh, how ready and eager is the Savior waiting to cleanse the sins of all who come to him. Dear friend, will you remain in your filthiness, rottenness, lies, pornography, cheating, envy, malice, and all sorts? I beckon on you today. The Savior is near, closer to you than you can ever imagine. This man, full of leprosy, bowed his face and implored the Savior, calling on him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Luke 5, verse 12. Having painted a picture of what leprosy can be spiritually, having explained how terrible our sins are, what in essence, what are the consequences of any man living in sin? Just as the leper was ostracized or separated from God's people from God's congregation, what were the things this man suffered, even though it's not explained in our passage. But we can imply so many things of what sin causes. Number one, sin defiles and incapacitates the sinner. Just as lepers were defiled and cut off from public worship and were defiled in the sight of a holy God, leprosy affects both the internal and external organs. So does our sins. Our best works are filthy rags in the sight of God. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Number two, sin causes distance and breakdown of relationships. Earlier in the morning, our pastor referred to, in Malachi, the need to keep faithfulness in marriage. And the greatest cause of separation in homes is when couples live in sin. Sin of pride, arrogance, lack of submission, trying to lord it over one another. Sin causes breakdown in relationships. When there is sin in the home, in an institution, even in a country as we have, there is definitely going to be a breakdown of law and order. Sin causes distancing and separation. I remember clearly Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 8, when he instructed that the immoral brother be excommunicated from the gathering of God's people, handed over to Satan to be disciplined. Number three, sin results in loneliness for the sinner. And several examples abound in the scriptures of men who plunged into sin and experienced terrible loneliness. I will give some examples. In Luke 15, from verse 11 to 32, I'll give you some portions of that, of the prodigal son. From verse 14, Luke 15, I read, "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." Looking at verse 14, the sin, the arrogance of the prodigal son made him to be abandoned, to be in famine, and that is one of the consequences of sin. Another example is Joshua chapter 7, from verse 10 to 26, the account of Achan. I'll just take some few verses too. In Joshua 7, looking at verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. I coveted them.'" And what was the consequence for Achan? Verse 26. "Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. He was stoned." Sin brings loneliness. Sin grows progressively worse, ending in spiritual death, just as leprosy grew worse until the leper died. So with sin, if it is not cleansed by Christ, the sinner faces physical death, and then what the Bible calls the second death, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 14 to 15. Lastly, on this point, on the consequences of sin, sin has no human cure. So, with leprosy, this leper will have tried a lot of things, yet to no avail. Nothing can cure our sins except Christ's cleansing power, works of our hands, restitutions, psychological therapies, self-esteem, acts of feeling good, obedience to the law, if we can even obey the law on our own, cannot save us from our sins. No wonder Apostle Paul cried out in Romans 7, 24 to 25, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Apostle Paul realized his wretchedness. He realized the wretchedness of man and the cure, the solution to our sins. Are you listening to me today? The Lord is beckoning on you to bring your sins to Him. Your sins, no matter how they may be, no matter how red they are, terrible they are, no matter how disgusting, smelling, foul they are, compared to this leprous man, Christ is telling you to come. He's telling you to repent. Having considered the consequences of our sins, the leper shows us the only hope for us as spiritual lepers. The leper shows us the way out of the weight of the load we are carrying. The leper recognized the deplorable and pathetic situation he was into. If he remained the way he was, he will gradually wait till death comes. Even there, the consequence of coming into the public, bearing Jewish laws, he saw Jesus, fell on his face, and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I like that. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This leper recognized the cleansing power of Christ. This statement, in a sense, reminds me the way our children behave. When a child comes to you for a need, he tells you, oh, daddy, I need this. Oh, I need sweet. I need chocolate. I need this. And even at times when you say no, that child replies with a strong affirmation. That child is so bold that your no, in a sense, means yes. It tells you, I know you have daddy. I know you can make this happen for me. Such words from our children resound so close to what this leper is saying. You can make me clean. And I'm beckoning on our children too. There's one greater than your daddy, than your mommy. There is one who can save you from your sins, your lies, your stubbornness, your fear. For some months now, as parents, we've been homeschooling our children. We've seen their challenges academically. We've seen their weaknesses. Oh, we've seen that this child is so weak in mathematics, in English, in verbal reasoning. Christ can save from sin. My prayer is that our children will learn to come unto God. Will learn with their little faith, with their tender hearts, and say, Lord Jesus, you can make me clean from my sins. My desire is that our leaders in our country, confused, changing policies day and night, would come to the Savior and say, you can make us clean. They will come personally. Our politicians, those that govern in the place of authorities, will come with their sins and say with all authority, with all humility, you can make me clean. What a statement of faith. What are you addicted to? What is that thing? What is that addiction holding you down, pressing you down? Look again at the word, at the statement of this man. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He came in faith, asking for cleansing. I don't think he came with a big faith. Faith itself is a gift from God. The sighting of Jesus by the leper was the beginning of the faith in the leper. He just came. Most likely, I can say even really, Christ granted him that faith because Christ knows all things. He's the one that calls. He's the one that draws men. This leper realized that Jesus had the sovereignty to cleanse. No wonder he says, if you are willing. If I can take from the catechism for boys and girls, there's a question there that says, can God do all things? And the answer says, yes, he can do all things according to his holy will. And included in his holy will is to save you from your sins, from your stubbornness, from your usual, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. He's willing to save you from that sin. Will you trust his sovereignty, his willingness? Christ is willing to save. Because he has promised in John 6:37 that anyone that comes to me, I will not cast out. This leper believed in the power of Christ to make clean. I repeat again, he said, you can make me clean. Can Christ truly make clean? Yes. He is a lamb who takes away the sins of the world. John 1:29. Matthew 1:21 declares him, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Come with that sin. He's willing to save you from it. To further emphasize on his power, on his willingness, on his grace to save from that oppressive sin, from that bondage, from that pride, from that fornication, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, from verse 4 to 9. I'll just read one verse from there. I'll read verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. For some months now, our elders, Pastor Tony, Pastor Osage, have been doing a lot on these epistles of John in our Bible studies. But look at verse 8. This is more like an admonition to you out there. It says, 1 John 3, verse 8. For better context, you can take note of 1 John 3 from verse 4 to verse 9. But we all read verse 8 alone. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Virtually everything we use, we lay hold on, we buy, is for a purpose. And the Bible is telling you, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, the works of sin. The devil is the chief liar. His native language is to lie. He deceived our first parents, and he has not stopped in this deception. But there's good news for you listening to me. The purpose why Christ was made manifest, the purpose why he walked on this earth, the purpose why he went to the cross, is that he will save you from your sins. Like this leper, will you bring those sins to him? Remember, He that covereth his sins will not prosper. But he that confesses it and forsakes it shall have mercy. What are you hiding? We've been 5 months not meeting physically. What is that thing you have done when we are absent from the presence of God's people physically? Bring them. Share them with someone. Repent of them. Don't cover it. God's mercy is available. In verse 13 of this same Bible text we are looking at, still emphasizing, then he put out his hand and touched him. Very remarkable. We have had incidences in the Bible of men who had leprosy or men who were covered with leprosy. But when they came for healing, Elisha, in taking care of Naaman, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, Elisha did not touch Naaman. Most likely he understood the law. He just told him, go and wash in the pool. When Miriam sinned and leprosy covered her, in Numbers 12, 9 to 15, Moses did not touch her. Moses just prayed to God. But can you imagine? Jesus Christ, full of compassion, he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Will you allow this statement of love, of compassion, of mercy, of grace to pass you by, young man, young woman, daddy, mommy? Christ is willing to go beyond Elisha and Moses to touch you, to cleanse you, to take you, to pass through the fount of his blood and make you clean. He's willing to justify you of those things you could not be justified of by your observance of the law. Verse 14. And in verse 13, immediately the leprosy left him. Forgiveness of sins is instantaneous. It's not by your works. It's not by what you do. When Christ says you are forgiven, you are forgiven. The ticket, the entry to heaven is that your sins are forgiven. It's not by paying penance. It's not by paying tithes. It's not by your good works. It's by the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. Oh, how I wish, I pray that Christ will forgive sins. He will forgive many who are willing to be saved. He will forgive many in the cities of Lagos who are blinded by their sins. He will forgive many who come to church Sunday in, Sunday out, carrying their sins. Except you come to him. Except you understand and know that he's willing to forgive you of your sins. From verse 14 to 16, it's more of what next? This man has been forgiven of his sins. He's been cleansed. He's a new man. Verse 14 says, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. And he charged him to tell no one, but go. Christ came to fulfill the law. As at this time, he had not gone to the cross. As at this time, the veil has not been removed. He wanted to satisfy all the requirements of the law so that he can be a savior, perfect, fit, complete, to save mankind in generations to come. He told the man, go and show the priest. that the priest, the Jewish priest, will know that the Messiah has come. Say, I'll make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Who went out with these reports? Let's look at another account by Mark, in Mark 1:45. Briefly, Mark 1:45. And Mark tells us who actually went around with these reports. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Humanly speaking, only God knew how long this man had carried this leprosy. His feelings overwhelmed him. He couldn't hold on to what he has seen, to what he has experienced. He went out telling everyone. But there's a lesson for us to learn when we come to know the Lord. There's a lesson. And in fact, one way you will truly know if your salvation is genuine is that you will not be controlled by your feelings. Many today answer altar call and they count numbers. Oh, he's saved. And after some few days or some few months, he goes back. Probably he's been saved by his feelings. But Christ instructed this man to go back to the priest. When we come to Christ and he instructs us, we are meant to follow in his obedience. We need not allow our feelings to control us. We can't walk with God with our feelings. Your feelings will tell you at times to even do what is sinful, what is wrong. When you wake up in the morning, your feeling may tell you don't read your Bible, or even throughout the day, don't read your Bible. Our feelings cannot help us in our walk with God. As many who have been justified by him will walk by faith, will put their faith and their hope in him. Another lesson to see of these incidents that happened when this man was cleansed was that Christ was much more particular about those that will come to him with their sins. Look at verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. They came for healing. They didn't come for cleansing. They didn't come with their sins. And that's what we have today. We're in a generation seeking God for bread, seeking God for healing. And unfortunately, we have pulpits manned, controlled by men who are concerned with bread, with healing, with material things. My prayer is God is that God will save us from this. Some of these we've learned from our study of Malachi, of priests who pointed men to themselves and not to God. Jesus is looking for those who will seek him, who will bring their sins to him. He's not seeking for those who are just out there to fill their bellies. Our Savior, our Master, he never sought for fame. He never sought for popularity, as verse 16 explains to us. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. What a contrast. What a contrast with the God of this age. What a contrast with what men pursue this age. A little healing, a small breakthrough, a little testimony in their ministry, publicity, news all around. Christ is not the focus again. It's the fame and the popularity they are looking for. My prayer is that God will raise men, that God will raise laborers in our time, in our generation, that will point men to Christ. All the signs, all the healings were a sign to point to the Savior, to point to the Messiah who has come to save from sin. My charge to those who preach, to those who labor, is that they will remember that Christ has called us to lead men to Him. See the wonderful lesson in verse 16. Jesus, who carried the fullness of the Godhead, still withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Wow! Jesus praying. He who made all things and through whom all things were made, praying. Withdrawing to lonely places. What a height of humility. What a great example to follow in our age, in our time. Praying. Young believer, are you feeling convicted of your sins? Are you coming to Him? Remember the place of prayer. My dear brother and sister who have been in the faith, do you make it a duty, and more than a duty, a delight, to withdraw to lonely places? It's possible you withdraw to lonely places with your phone, with your gadgets. Yes, you are free from the world, from distractions, but the noise from your phone, from the social media, won't allow you rest and pray and seek His face. Let's learn. Let's remember to withdraw to lonely places. The Lord who sees all things, who knows all things, is fully aware of our generation. The Bible records that we are in the last days. And these last days began even from the time of the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any excuse. As I conclude, as I round up, let us seek the Father in all circumstances and situations. He has called us as a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If we don't come to Him first, second, always, how do we minister to a perishing world? Let's come to Him. And if you are there with your baggage of sin, remember what I said, what the scripture said, believe that word, He can make you clean. If you can believe your parents, if you can believe your boss, if you can believe your husband, if you can believe your wife, and they make those things happen, wicked men they are, how much more the Almighty God? I pray we'll have wisdom and grace to believe in to make us clean from our sins. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You. Most gracious God, the only one who can cleanse our sins. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who satisfied the justice of God, who was punished for our sins. We bow before You, we reverence You, we acknowledge You. Lord, we pray for Your mercy. We pray, Lord, that You draw many who are lost unto Yourself. Many were struggling in their closets. Lord Jesus, by the preaching of your word that has gone forth now, even in the morning, and even continually, will you draw men to yourself? Will you draw our children to yourself? May our children come to know that you can make them clean from their sins. May our political leaders and our politicians know that you can cleanse them from their sins. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to us. For as many were blinded by the god of this age, by the religions of this world, by Hinduism, by Islam, by all kinds of Christian cults, Lord, open their eyes that they will see the King of glory, that they will see Christ exalted, reigning, willing to save, to cleanse from their sins. Lord, cause many in our city. This leper met Christ in the city. Lord Jesus, help many in our city, in Lagos, in Abuja, in many cities in our country to come unto you. Not ashamed, not timid. Help them to cry out like Paul, "What a wretched man we are! Save us from our sins." Lord, we want to hear such cries in our time, in our generation, in our dispensation, in our church. We want to hear men cry out, "Christ, save me from my sins. You can make me clean." Father, we plead, we beg, we appeal to you that you will indeed save men, women from their sins. Lord, we pray that we will learn from you to go into our lonely places, our closets, to the wilderness, to seek you. Save us from the distractions of our world. Save us from those created things, the media, the films, the entertainment, the noise that keep us from you. Lord, save us from those things, oh God. Help us. Show us your mercy. Lord, we thank you. Thank you once again for today. We ask, oh God, you will help us when we gather again next week. Be merciful unto us. Even I pray that you strengthen me and grant me the grace to even humble myself the more in your presence. Father, we thank you for everything. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.